and he would run one way, and he had that wrapped around that number nine wire around his horns, and he would run one way, and then the other way, and then the other way, and then he'd stop and look at me. And then he'd take another run at it, you know. Two or three runs like that, and he broke loose. But I, instead of taking that wire, I just burned it all up in a ball and wrapped it around so they could use the telephone. It hung there for a long time, all that black out of that there phone line for about a mile on very point there.
What did that do, tie into Porcupine Guard Station?
Or? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All that.
It went down into the lake, to the reservoir.
Oh. No. No, my brother, he was at, had to stayed at the Grand Reservoir for years. I used to ride down there. See, look, Grand paid me too, see. And I ride, one day a week I'd ride the watersheds, pull the elk and stuff out of the reservoir and stuff like that, broke through the ice. Oh. They don't know about that.
Probably don't.
Yeah. Keep your well, teeth together.
That's a lot cleaner than a lot of things they get in their water nowadays.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't bad, didn't it? I mean, they go through the ice and drown.
Was that just mostly elk that would do that?
Yeah. Once in a while, we'd find a deer somebody shot on the water.
Water be so cold, it couldn't decompose anyway.
Well, anyway, just on the watershed. You drag it clean up on the hill somewhere, you know what I mean, away from the water sources.
And then, well, they had the early day, or the predator control over there. What species were they going after, especially? Do you remember, or what the background was?
Coyotes is what the boys had run into.
Huh?
Remember, the boys had run into the coyotes in the traps.
The only thing that I know of was cougar and coyote. They said some. It was pretty much the species and things are pretty much the same, I think, as they were. The only thing is that probably that I can see, we still got some big bucks once in a while, but the bull elk is just, you don't see no bull elk like me. I had every year I always got my big bull. I've been here, and of course the last few years I didn't hunt. I hunted last year, and a few years we got two last year. But it's small. It's 2 point and 1 point.
Wonderful meat.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't eaten elk meat for maybe 20 years?
Oh.
But he always gets them away.
It hasn't been that long since I killed an elk, has it?
Oh, I didn't say hadn't killed one, honey. I said you gave them away. You never brought them home.
Oh.
For the simple reason that we had our own beef. About the time elk season came, the kids had just left, and we still had a lot left over for the winter, because you never know what you're going to eat. So.
Did you give no Shorty Oswald, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
God, that was a wonderful guy.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
We miss him so much.
I worked with Shorty for years and years.
Oh, no, yeah, he's a real special guy.
God, he got mad at me one time. We were all cutting stays on the experimental station up there. And that's all axe work. And that. So I said, I don't know how it was I said that. I said, I cut just two more stays than anybody or something like that. No, so he got mad. He said, nobody ever cut any more stays than I did. By God, nobody ever cut any more stays than I did.
He was a lot older than Buddy Joe at that time, I'm telling you, but boy, he wouldn't give up for nobody.
Well, I remember because he had that brace, wasn't he, always wore, out there stringing up telephone line, all that. It just wouldn't slow him down at all.
Oh, God, he was a regular horse, that guy.
Yeah.
And he, man, oh man, could he eat breakfast. Got off. I never could eat quite enough to last me till when they're using axe all day till noon, I'd give out about 11:30, but I'd just be about the last of it. But after I ate my lunch, I was good till quitting time then. But that shorty could eat a great big bowl of mush that big, 4 or 5 hot cakes and 4 or 5 eggs and 2 or 3 slices of bacon.
Good.
I was sure surprised when he took 6 of them.
Awful fast. We thought we'd have him around there.
I don't know any
He didn't want to retire. I think that's the reason why.
What did you work on?
Well, I started at LeGrand in 55, and I was here, about a year, and then I went on the forest inventory for, just travel around. I was up at halfway and down there around the Sumter country and in that area, and then went in the Army in 57, came back in 59, then I went to Union District after that.
They used to use my horses on experiments, I used to take my horses over there and they'd use them for rounding up the cattle. Sure. What was the name of that outfit down below? There was a couple of lawyers running cattle up in there. They used to drive them back and forth.
Sheep and cattle.
Because I know Tony Bay was over there, the Bay Ranch.
Tony, but he wasn't.
He wasn't
an attorney.
No, I know. Yeah.
These guys were from Echo. They used to drive the cattle back and forth. I tried to remember.
Was it Cooney's?
Cooney was over there in Echo.
Yeah, I guess it was a Cooney outfit. Yeah. I guess it was a Cooney outfit.
Yeah, I couldn't remember that he was an attorney, but his Cooney was over
there. One of them was.
Yeah, one of them.
Anyways, now they truck them back in the forest and stuff.
Yeah, those big cattle drives.
Yeah.
Scotland, he was kind of the head of that in there, wasn't he? When they used to
talk to him. You knew the Conrads then down on Amanaha?
Well, I remember them. Yeah. I never did know them at all.
Well, they trucked their cattle from Amanaha clear over to Goose Creek, up in there.
Who?
Cleo and Gilbert.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they truck in that hot weather. She'd drive truck and run home and feed, and they could run back and take care of the stock and get them going again.
They've been logging in here for the last 40 years, and they're still doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we had to have a log
glass. Are they still logging that chip stuff or not? Are they?
Oh, I don't know, but I've gotten away from it so much that I don't not too aware of a lot of that that's going on at all. It seems like we're always busier down the
road. Well, that's where you're
out the road, so I never know what's going on.
Well, that's where your little pine,
Black Pine
poles went,
Particularly where the bugs started hitting,
they cleaned them out just slicker than whistles. Mm-hmm. Where they miled them up in there, and you could do nothing.
Let the natives come in and get them up. Mm-hmm. They just cleaned them out. But they got so they'd build roads on us and take the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to be right there with them.
Yeah, it's a real sad.
No.
They didn't even stop and ask. They just
don't honor anybody's property or anything else anymore.
What do you think about this 4-day hunting season, that first season?
I haven't even really gotten into that at all, bud.
You're not a hunter.
No, I hunt with a camera, so I don't, I go 365 days out of the year.
If you're like me, you never have a camera when you need it. Oh, God, I should.
Well, I haven't had much chance to get out, it seems like. Or
I carry some great big heavy old-fashioned cameras on my neck, so I'd just kill me, and I'd leave them home one day, and that's when you'd want to.
You never hear them killing them big old bulls when they're fighting anymore like you used to. Yeah. They used to be quite common.
Mm-hmm. We had one going to fight us and take all 7 of us off on horses down a canyon one time. We just made a turn and everybody said,
We had that pet one here a few days.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
They brought him from, he said they come from that little town on the other side of the Grand.
Yeah.
They moved him up here, I guess.
Oh, I forgot.
And he was a regular pet, but
he was so cute. He'd follow you any place with a soda cracker. He'd come
I wonder why they didn't put him in a zoo somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, probably.
He didn't last long up here.
Look at me, honey. I tried to get our two. That, well, we didn't tame them. The neighbors down below here, they killed a mother in for the 4th of July dinner and didn't know that she had the fawns. So the next day, the little fawns came in with their sheep. And they fed them for a month, 3 or 4 times a day, I don't know. And then they come up here and saw all our green grass and we couldn't get rid of them. And they were wonderful pets. But we kept asking them to come and get them, and I'd even take them home in the station wagon, and then they said, oh, forget it, just let them stay up there if it's all right with you. So I tried to get them into the zoos.
Well, that's one of them up there. You took, on. That's one of them you took the picture of up there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that's her.
Is that one? I'll be
there. Yeah, that's Nippy. And the little buck was killed down there at the truck stop where the restrooms are now. And our neighbor down below here got his first snowmobile, and he drove all the deer from here down into there. Overnight, he thought that was fun.
What's your best pictures of, I mean, what's your hardest pictures to get of?
Oh, some of them, like that one I've got of the eagle, golden eagle in the nest, which is up about 90 feet in the air, and then there's the big nest and the young one sitting right in the nest. That's kind of a choice one of mine. Had that one of the 4 bighorn owls of the young ones that was over at Pondosa at the sawmill. And that's more of a character shot. They just made expressions out of them.
Yeah.
But then somebody shot them right after I took the picture. I put them back in the nest.
Yeah.
And that, I think it was the next week, went over and somebody shot the whole bunch of them. It was a really young kind of...
I can't leave them alone. Yeah.
No.
Did you tell him about the little blue grouse?
The what?
The blue grouse down at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, yeah. I wish we could have got that. They had a blue grouse down here on the road. He'd fight you, you know. He'd stop the car and he'd hit the hubcaps. You get out and he'd hit you on the pants leg.
For goodness sakes.
Yeah. And I bet he didn't. I don't know what happened to him.
Well, you do know. There was a little mommy nesting up above and he was protecting her. Mm-hmm. And everybody got to talking about it, so somebody come up and shot him. Just like me when I first came here. We had to walk down to the mailbox where it's under the damn site now, a little ways. And as I'd go down, I'd feed the little birds along the way, and the deer and things. Shoot. All the little grouse got to waiting for me. And then everybody saw them. So they come up in the morning, the grouse even shot the whole bunch. So you can't do that.
That little grouse that was fighting, that's not uncommon for them blue grouse, I guess. I found out, I thought it was something special, but it's not. I guess that's quite common where they'll fight that way.
I never ran that. I ran a hawk one time that put me right down the road over there around Sanger Mine.
It did?
Well, I just got out of the pickup and just heard him scream, and boy, he just coming right down the road right at me. It just put me right on the road.
My territory, get out.
Yeah, it popped out next there, went back there, had a nest right there just above. Yeah. You know, I never saw the nest or anything, but boy, he was sure on the fight.
I saw an elk one time, which I'd love to have a picture of him. It was a young elk. He only stood about that high. But he was standing in Beaver Creek, and he had his neck all like that, just straight back. And this looked like a big bull elk, you know what I mean? But he was just a little calf. And I rode by him and looked at him and said,
he was already
God,
inside,
that's a beautiful animal. And again, his head began to run. That's something. I rode back and he had his hip, shoulder broke, I guess, and it was all swelled up, and that's what made him look like that.
Yeah.
But he had that little head and that big neck and stuff standing there.
Did you put him out of his misery?
Oh, no, he just hobbled off a little bit, and I left him alone and went on. And then I pulled him out of the creek a few days later. But that was a beautiful, you know what I mean? It's just like a big bull, you know, with his neck all swelled up and stuff.
Poor little thing. We might have got all right.
Sure. But you know, that's what I say. I never had a camera when you want one right. of the dad. I saw one white bear since I've been up there, too. I had the boys with me and rode right out on. I thought somebody left their sheep in the car. He was drinking. I rode right out on him. Hell, I wasn't over 20 yards from him. Had his head down. The first thing I thought was, where'd that damn sheep get here? You know what I mean? And he raised his head up then. Well, of course, he seen us then. He raised his head up. Hell, it was a bear. He took off. I shook the dog on him. I thought he'd tree him, but the dog wouldn't tree him. The dog, he was chicken.
My dog.
Well, he ran off. But I never heard anybody ever getting him.
Yeah, I'll be darned. What was that, right here around?
No, right at Porcupine.
Oh, Porcupine.
Right
uh-huh.
at Porcupine. Yeah.
Was it complete albino? Or?
Yeah. Only had just a little streak of black brown on each side of his face. like you just smear it, like on each side of his face. Kind of pretty something we got.
The boys still talk about that. And he just called, and he was with you then.
But
he's 46 now. We had boys alone for 17 years where we had girls. And they're getting old. One of the boys come home and goes, yeah, Louise, I'm 50 years old. And I said, you're what? To me, they're still 15, you know.
But you know what? All them years, nothing changed much. Only thing that changed was just less. Yes, as the years went by, less of everything, I think.
Well, there's more people moving in now. There'll be a great change before long. Lots of people.
But as far as the species, there's no more cougar in there. There used to be some cougar in there.
Not a lot. Not
like I never see the cougar. What I see is just the kills. You know how they cover them all up and stuff. But towards the last, you never see them anymore. And bear, well, there's always a few bear, brown and black bear around. But, God, I have had an experience with one of them babies, though. A fellow was worked for me, and we were riding in the mountains. We come right out into a little opening, as big as this room, and there was a big old sow bear with two little cubs about that high. And she took off, and the little ones took off up a tree about that big, one of the big old red furs.
Well, you're supposed to.
And just about as long as it took to tell me, she went over the hill, she come back out and I chasing my dog. I had a big black dog. Chased him right under the horse. And if you think I didn't do some talking noise, and I had a little head within the 38 and he had a 45. And you know, we couldn't unlimber them things. You did.
That's where you'd want to. Camera.
Oh, you didn't have time for a camera, I'm going to tell you. But anyway, the dog was running back down over the hill again. And I was hollering and everything, you know. And them two little cubs sitting up in there. And maybe you know old Jim Strong, I don't know.
No.
He's around Pendleton down in there. He shoes horses, I taught him shoe horses. Anyway, but. He wanted to go up and get one of them little cups. They were looking at us. You know. I said, no way, man. I had all of her I wanted anyway. You know.
And
he said, well, he said, I got my 45. Well, that's a 45, no good for a bear. Yeah, you don't want to be. But he wanted to get one of them cups. I had a heck of a time talking about it going up there after that. After what was we done with the 45 and the 38 and that old sow bear?
I'm down onto a cub to boot.
What do you want to do? Well, shoot him with a
38. I'd been better off. Gosh. But things like that, you know, happen, but you never have time like that. You know what I mean? But it didn't take long, I'm going to tell you, just as long as it took to tell us and all the yelling and screaming and stuff. Jesus. Gosh.
Yeah, that was a great experience.
Oh, yeah. I rode out on them babies two or three times. One time I rode out on one red one, and he'd run up a big tamarack tree, a bare tamarack tree, he'd come up there. And he was up there about 20, 30 feet, and my horse, he wouldn't run right up ahead of my horse, you know. And I had a big black dog, and I don't think she even noticed him. But anyway, I rode underneath that tree, and I looked up at him, and he started scratching on that tree. I'm going to tell you, that horse didn't stay there long. But he never bothered him running up there, never even looked at him. But soon as that scratching above us, I'm going to tell you, up the mountain we went.
We had, each of us had a pack horse leading it.
Good.
We come into a draw on the road, and there was an embankment about as high as the roof of the ceiling. And there was a big brown bear just looking down on us. And Buddy, we stopped, and Buddy said, "Don't move. Let him go where he wants to go." That's all he said. We were there, what, about a half an hour? That old bear couldn't make up his mind which way it wanted to go, and I was just praying he'd hurry up and turn around and go back the other way. But he jumped right down in the road ahead of us and went on it. That's the way he wanted to go, and that's the way he was going.
You know, I don't see how some of these fellas get some of these pictures they get. All my time in riding and stuff, when something happened, I never had much time to do that, get that picture. You know what I mean? It all happens so fast that you can't remember everything.
Well, part of it, I think they spend a lot of time, you know, basically you just live with the animals.
Yeah, just sit there.
And someplace where they're either got the young ones or they're getting old if they're around.
You know Bradshaw, Floyd?
Oh, yeah.
Used to take quite a few pictures. Yeah. He used to come up here and take pictures.
Well, he and C.D. Cannon used to
do a lot together. Yeah, Cannon and I know both.
Cannon took 150 pictures of that hoot owl of mine up there. And every one of them were different. And he had that beautiful picture in the Sacagawea in the dining area there. He said, "That's going to be yours someday, Louise." But somehow or other it got mixed up with the auction and it went out.
C.C. Cannon, he was a nice guy.
And I would like to have been able to get a big old goose. His pet goose used to sit in one of those great big cottonwood trees up there.
You know, that's the first time I've ever seen geese set in snags, and they're sitting in it. They do it here quite often. Huh. And they were sitting, one of them the other morning was sitting on that old house over there.
One of the boys
came in. But I've been around geese, and they're sitting in big snags up there.
We'd love to have
I've never seen them sitting in snags before.
We never heard of it. We've never seen pictures of it.
That's weird,
I mean, he sits on that road over there quite often.
It'd be awful hard to get a picture of them because
they're too far away.
You know what I mean.
But I got some lens where you'd reach out.
I got two of them set here every year for years. There was four here this year, but there was early this spring there was six or eight come in. Mm-hmm. But they say that they mate for life. And I don't. God, them two must be awful lucky when one is, what I mean, to come back.
They're not
every
scared
year.
Of us to come right over here to the barn along the creek.
They got so now they don't. They'll wait for me, you know what I mean. If they're sitting on the other side of the creek and I go to the barn, where they just stay there.
I'll get used to you.
Yeah.
So they must be the old ones.
Yeah, because that's like our quail down there. Go out to feed them and you just sit right there, wait for a handout.
I like that, I like to do
that. Well, that's what we live here for.
Yeah. Well, that's what's nice there in their backyards, the regular menagerie. We've got about... Yeah, we just had mother groundhog and four or five young ones in the wood pile, and we got the quail come through, and the rabbits, cocktails are in there.
You got a couple of woodchucks?
Well, we got quite a few up the hill there in the rocks, but this old mother, she's been in the wood pile here for, at least 5 years now.
Well, that's her territory.
Yeah, that one year we had... I think it was up to 13. We didn't know what we were going to do with them.
Yeah.
We had woodchucks all over the place, that wood pile, and the badger moved in and really cleaned everybody out.
He did?
But the mother, she's still around.
We got some under the house right here,
Well, I saw one running up the pasture here.
Yeah, it did.
That little dog first.
run up and he grabbed that one by the back going up, and he never stopped and run up, and she run under the set, and he'd sit there and look at it. And he just chases her every time he gets a chance, or him, whatever it is. But if he, I don't think he whipped that bad.
No, they're pretty big.
No. I had a black spaniel, and she couldn't whip him.
Yeah.
And I don't think he could either, but he likes to chase this one. There's a big old baby sensor.
He was a little mommy.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I don't know what I'm going to do with the damn thing, so...
No, I know it, yeah.
I hate to kill them.
Yeah.
And,
jump, you can. I'll let you.
Yeah, we got quite... Like I said, we got some hay there for a while. We didn't know what we were going to do with them, and then the badger kind of took care of that.
Well, we've got a badger that comes in. He used to come in here every year. I haven't seen him in the last couple of years.
Well, you've been so sick, you haven't been out.
Maybe. Yeah, we had a badger. You dig a hole right in front of the garage there, you know what I mean? And he'd come in there every year. He'd come through the creek, and three of us were riding up the road and had the dogs with him. He'd come out of the creek, stopped right in the middle of the road and set up, and the dogs took and looked at him. And it just went on. But the dogs never bothered him. I just thought they went after him, you know.
Yes,
but he looked like, you know what he looked like, all wet, sitting there, and we got him with the whole looking thing. I didn't know they swim that creek like he wouldn't believe.
Yeah. I went to the backyard last year, and I thought, well, didn't really care about having around it all, the cats, so I took the hose to him. Just went up the hill and got mad, came back, dug up the whole yard. He just tore everything up. Even moved in over the front steps.
So you know, they get mad at you, too.
Oh, you bet. Well, he just raised up.
I had something happen to me. Everybody said, you shouldn't have killed it, you shouldn't have killed it. But I didn't have time to think whether I should or shouldn't. We laid down and I could hear the peacocks. And they were just yelling like they were yelling, help, help, help. And it was just carrying on, and I didn't pay much attention for a while, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me there was something wrong. And the snow was this high along where we just cut through to get out that back door. And I opened the back door, and here come about 8 or 10 peacocks all in that little mess running around the door. And one of them come right on in. And when it come in, I could see something heavy on the back of it, and I kicked at it. And it dropped out and flew out, and then I went out, but I always, we shoveled so much snow around here, I always had a snow shovel in my hand. Automatically I had a snow shovel in my hand, I don't know why. And when I got out there, that thing took after me, tried to get to my legs, and it was all over, and the peacocks were going up like this, and it was trying to get underneath them, not on top of them. He was trying to grab from underneath, I guess, where the breast is. I think that's where he was. Had the one that I kicked him off of. And it just, everything was just in about 5 seconds, I had him down on the ground with that snow shovel, and Buddy come out and strapped his head in. Then we found out we shouldn't have shot him, or we shouldn't have killed him.
There's nothing you could do with head to you. Where's your goshawk?
Oh, for goodness sake.
But he had nails like that he was trying to get into my legs.
Mm-hmm. I'll be
darned. Ooh, and I was just kicking around, and the peacocks were going up and down, and he was flying, and he was hungry.
I think. Had to be.
I would have fed him if I could have done anything, settled him down.
You
had to give him 3 or 4 peacocks to pull
took
him up.
They took him to school, and they stuffed him down there.
No, the taxidermist teacher down there, the biology teacher, wouldn't do it. He said I shouldn't have killed him.
They stuffed him, didn't they?
Nope, they let him spoil.
Huh?
They let him spoil.
I didn't know. I thought they stuffed him.
I would have taken it down to the game commission and turned it in and let them take care of it.
Nothing you could do in the case of that kind.
Everything happens so fast you wouldn't think of what it was just to get him away from me. He was after me as well as the peacocks, anything.
He's right among them, I guess.
Oh, yeah, they can get pretty hefty, you know. But do you remember when you were riding, did you ever run in over that La Grande Country, Spring Creek, and Dark Canyon, the wild horses over there?
Oh, yeah, there was wild horses in there when I was there. On Sherup Creek and in through there, Spring Creek up in there,
Mm-hmm.
There was some wild there was a fellow in there that protected him, Tony Bass Foreman. No. He was a foreman for them guys down in Echo.
Who, you mean that Indian?
God damn, my memory's still getting so I can't think it.
Cooney?
No, not Cooney. But anyway, he was a foreman for them, that cattle outfit down in Echo. And anyway, he protected him. But that guy from Union was trying to catch him in there.
Oh, Stitzel?
Stitzel was trying to catch him in there years ago. They were going to kill old Stitzel, I guess. Anyway. I don't know what happened with anyway, but there was wild horses in there, yeah. And we ran across them quite often in there. Upon most of the ones we run into, most of the time seemed like we're on Syrup Creek in there. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was Syrup Creek.
I think so. Well, I saw over in Spring Creek some really good-looking ones. In Dark Canyon, there's a real audience.
Well, I bought some, you know, from out of that. $10 a head years ago.
They should have given you $10 a head to get rid of.
And there was only two or three head of good ones in the bunch, you know. But the ones that were good were really good.
Yeah, only because you took.
They're hard to break, you know. But once you get them broke, I never did get them. I don't think any of them ever really did broke so that it wouldn't bite you or kick you. You know what I mean? Something.
Not like saddlebreds.
But anyway,
babies. They come home because the kids. They're looking for the kids right now.
Yeah, there was horses in there. Wild horses in there when they was in there. And
were those from the reservation? You think or where they came?
I think
from?
They come from over the hill, but. We worked in there in the winter time, you know. I made troughs in there. We made all them troughs in there for the sheep, and that's when the chainsaws come in, you remember? And then we cut all them troughs out with chainsaws. We worked all one winter in there. Butcher, you remember Bud Butcher?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Bud and I worked in there for... Bud and I worked in there for all one winter making troughs. And I don't know... And that and them crossroads, them road things, you know, culverts, like,
open tops.
Now, back in there, there was quite an Indian place where they made their arrows and stuff in there. That's how they got that. What was that name of that place back in there? On the experimental range.
I remember Jerry Strickler talking about it some, but I never got back in that area.
I was trying to think of his name. I've got a very good memory, and it just bugs me here.
Bert and I worked that whole. We used to work that over in the winter time there quite a lot. See, they laid everybody off for the next one or two guys, you know, in the winter time.
You work 9 months for the Forest Service. It's still pretty much that way.
But anyway, them horses were in there, which I'm pretty sure there was some on Bear Creek once or twice, but most of them was on Syrup Creek. I remember they seemed to stick down in that Syrup Creek hole down in there. Quite a canyon in there, Syrup Creek.
What about population? Do you remember how many are there, or did it pretty much stay static or go up or down?
No, there was... I think the most we ever saw in one bunch was 10. And then there was four or five different places once in a while. That's all I ever saw in there. But there was 10 head in there on Syrup Creek one time. We were putting in some troughs. And it was snowing about. And I think most all the wild was snow on the ground. I don't remember. Well, we didn't work in there too much, you know what I mean, other times anyway.
We just worked there the early part of the winter, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, is there any more still in there? When
I don't know, because I completely forgot about it until I talked with Howard Fisk last night, and all of a sudden it dawned on me when we were talking about wildlife in a sense, you know, they're kind of wild to the country. Mm-hmm. I remembered when I came out here, that's the first place I worked was up Spring Creek.
I helped gather the last wild horses out of here, too, off of Chief Valley.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
A fellow by the name of Haynes, Tom Haynes, he run the horses, and he got $10 a piece for them in the Bronco market in Portland.
When was that, brother?
When was it I got hurt?
46. We was down at the Lower Ranch.
Oh, that was when I run horses over there.
That was at the Lower Ranch. We were still living at the Lower Ranch. It was in the late fall, honey.
It seemed like it was before that, but maybe not.
Was that when did you get all the horses out of there?
Well, they had a bunch of them over around Thief Valley, over mm-hmm. in that country, in that flat country. And Tom Haynes, he had a bunch of horses. Well, and he had, that's when they had, we had those stud horses
that
the government furnished them put in them stud horses to breed up.
That's why he was riding, because he wanted one of the studs, and we did get him.
Anyway.
There was a big joke about it. Somebody else got it first, then we got it.
Anyway, I broke the son of a gun. We were one good horse.
Oh.
But anyway, Tom Haynes, he had a bunch of horses, and we'd run them together, get them together, and then four or five of us, and then we'd corral them. Right, you know where, out of North Powder, where you go up that hill, there's a canyon to the left there.
Mm-hmm. Bidwell Hill.
There's a Bidwell.
Yeah, Bidwell. To the left, there's
to the left, that canyon.
Well, up the canyon, there used to be some barns and corrals in there years ago. They're not there now. We corral them in there. Mm-hmm. And we cleared them out. But that was the last of them. We get them over in there and we get to run them, stay above them. And there was no fences in that there big wheel down to it. We'd run them down in that canyon there. And boy, that Tom Haynes was a rider. Boy, his brother, though, he got put in the can. Albie Haynes, they sent him over the road. Oh, Tommy, I guess they got the wrong brand mixed up anyway.
Did you know that the barn, as you go up the Lad Canyon Hill towards the Grand, the barn on the left down in there on Pratt and Glenn's place, down in there, this is the old timer that we bought our place for. He was about 90, and he said they had a mayor in North Powder that everybody just absolutely adored. He came in from the east, and he was just the finest gentleman. He was so kind to everybody. And he had his home down in there where that barn was, and all those gorgeous willow trees that used to be there. And he raised flowers, and then every Sunday after church, he'd have everybody come out, or maybe they'd even come out on Saturday and stay overnight. And they'd have big picnics, and they'd just play cards and games and dance.
They should have been superstitious then.
They said they had the most marvelous times. This went on for about 6 years. And then one Sunday when they went out, there was nobody there. And it wasn't too long till the FBI men came in. They don't come in there. They had cars. There was not too many cars in those days, but they had a big car. And they came in, was looking for him. And of course, everybody was curious why anybody, such a big car, you would come on those old dirt roads, you know, up in there. And it seemed that they'd been after him for all these years, and he'd been hid out in North Powder as this marvelous mayor. And that old barn down in there while the people were there dancing and singing, his men were out collecting their cattle, and they bring them in at night when they left.
Oh,
for sure. And they rustled cattle off that out of there for shears, and the people never knew where those cattle went.
That's
of course, they'd take them over the other way, you see, after that night, the next night.
Oh.
And this old fellow, he'd get mad. He'd get real mad about it because he lost cattle. Mm-hmm. He didn't have too many.
During the time we get them there. Wild horses, I don't know, but I always thought Alvey was getting the ones with the brands on, and he was getting rid of them, and Tom, his brother, was getting rid of the real wild ones and stuff.
Could be.
But then we
would you out bring them in?
Old Tommy, they sent him over the road anyway.
They could have got you on that too.
No, I just help run them in, though.
But you were honey.
You guys got the deck stretched out.
Yeah.
When was that with the mayor there? Do you remember about what?
The mayor?
Yeah.
Oh, long before we came here. It must have been in the early 30s.
Early 30s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I never heard about that.
No, I didn't either. Yeah, and every time I see that barn, one of my girls took a picture of it and sent it to me from New Jersey. She had it in Lars, and it's just beautiful. And I told her, what do you send it to me for? It's not my barn. And she said, well, would you remember the story you told me when I was a kid? And I said, yeah, I But I thought that was really, and Dolphy would get so mad, and he was a very gentle man, very gracious around everybody, Dolphy was. But when he'd get to telling that story, he'd just burn up inside, you could just see it. He was supposed to have been the first man born in Baker. And they had a great big dinner to honor him one night in Baker, and we went, and he was, and when it come time to have the oldest and the firstborn in Baker up on the platform, some woman had said she was born 2 years before Dolby was, and all of his life he thought he was the first one. When she died, they had her correct age, and she was 6 years younger than him, and she spoiled his whole evening. Poor old devil, and he was so excited about it. We took him up, and he waited.
How long you been in this country?
Well, 1955 when I came out. 55. From back east.
What part of the east?
Oh, Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Got to get
big city.
Out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. never missed it at all.
No.
You hate it. You go back once in a while with the mom's play. You don't try to fix it up like that.
But you know, after you look at the whole United States and things, it's pretty hard to beat Washington, Oregon, and Idaho.
Yeah, it really is, overall.
Overall, yes.
Yeah. Particularly the east side, because the west side, they have the rain and the humidity like they do back east there, this east side.
Yeah, a lot of people can't take it.
No.
I was born in it, never knew the difference, down there again. He kicked and drug me out here, and I never lived like this before. Electricity and sanitary plumbing and everything. And we were 15 years. And we had to fight like mad to get it then. Everybody below us had it for 5 years before we
used to be lots of sheep in this country.
Mm-hmm.
No, never see any anymore.
Not too much anymore.
Or a few around the homes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But there used to be bands of them by here.
Well, Bowman had so many of them.
Just everybody. See, all that hunting, Doobie, and guess Doobie ran it, but that whole bunch, Colton's and that, on the south end, Keating Valley, and then, of course, over on the Enterprise country, there's a lot, and then Echo, they used to run all kinds of sheep.
There were several bands around here. Yeah.
I remember that.
Every year there was several bands, two and three bands went right by the tree back here up into there. I used to have to move them, when they'd be on the district down there too long. You don't allow them to stay in one place very long, And of all the people that was hardest to work with, you wouldn't believe it, was the Irish. Them Irishmen, they'd say they couldn't understand you, but they could understand you. They wouldn't want to move. They have a good cap, they didn't want to move. They're vast, they wasn't bad, you know what I mean. Well, never seen nothing. They wouldn't say nothing, but the Irish, they get mad at
you. But when you're up around that, did you get in, or they talk anything about, like, what predators were bothering the sheep bands?
Oh, it's always been the bears, and mostly. The bears, they get into them, and then what happens? They pile up and smother, you know what I mean, when they're bears. But the coyotes always were ones, and I don't ever remember the cougars getting into them, but the coyotes and the bears were the ones that, you know, that had to...
Now, Howard Fisk last night, he meant something I'd never heard before. It's kind of interesting, where he said that a lot of them, they would, like, somebody or whatever, whether something would kill a sheep or it would take and die naturally, that they just let it go aside, and the coyotes start working on them and would kind of, you know, start following, coming in, where the bats would always bury the sheep and never really got bothered much by the coyotes. Uh-huh. And I never heard that before.
Sounds reasonable.
It's kind of interesting.
That's reasonable.
We're awfully careful about what we throw out. We mm-hmm. try to burn all the garbage that we now come. The last 2 years, the coons and the... The coons and the skunks have been coming up.
Oh, the coons
here.
And skunks.
From the valley. They don't
care
about
us down there. Now. We never were bothered before, but they're bothering like hell now.
I've never seen so many skunks in the valley probably 3 years or something like that.
People used to have...
You know, that's where you're...
They trap them or kill them, you know.